Hello, my name is Sean, and today we will be starting our last series of the year, Devoted, which has kind of become kind of a series we like to close every school year out here at Wake. If you're here last year, you probably remember we did Devoted, and that's because we just feel like it really encapsulates a lot of what, man, we want for you as students, as believers in Christ, as people who are wondering what it looks like to follow Christ. It just encapsulates a lot of that. And so the next couple of weeks we will be there. And then on the 19th will be our end of the year Wake school year party, which will be also a fun time as well. You can turn to Matthew 22. That's where we're going to be today. While you're doing that, let me tell you a little bit about Matthew. Matthew is one of the four accounts of Jesus's time here on earth: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes those four books are referred to as the Gospels. And just so you can know and be clarified that that is not the same thing as the gospel message, right? That Jesus died, on the cross and raised from the dead, paying the penalty we deserved. That's the gospel message, the good news. But sometimes these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are referred to as the Gospels. And I just wanted to clarify that in case there's anybody wondering. Today we'll be looking at a religious leader who tries to test Jesus, and we'll see how Jesus responds and what it means for us. So let's pray that God would teach us something. Lord, only you have the words of life. God, none of us, only you. And so, God, would your word teach us this morning? And then I'd ask you guys, pray for yourselves, that God would teach you something. Lord, we ask all this knowing that it's by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen. How many of you guys love free food? Anybody? I do. And I always have, and the height of this for me and loving free food when I was in college. All right. I went to Texas A&M in College Station. And so this guy in the Longhorn shirt, he's tuned out now in the front. That's okay. Stick with me. There was a place in College Station called Lane's. All right. It's very good. It's very similar to Raising Cane's, although I would say better, but that's besides the point. But my sophomore year of college, Raising Cane's came into College Station and literally set up shop right next to Lane's, creating some kind of a turf war. And Aggies, as you know, are very tribal, loyal, and traditional. And so Raising Cane's knew that they had to do something in order to get some business going. And so what they did was, one of the things they did is they put a coupon in these little coupon books you get at the bookstore. All right. There's always at the beginning of every year, there's always these little coupon books you get at any bookstore. You have to go buy your books in college, but you can always find these little coupon books, and they're always a scam because they're always like, buy one, get one free, buy a soda, buy a giant hamburger, get this tiny soda free. It's always a scam, but this one glorious fall semester, Raising Cane's put a coupon in that book that was just one free box combo, no purchase necessary. You just show up with that coupon and you're walking out with a whole free box of chicken. And so I lived with four other guys at that time. And for the first 3 weeks of college, we would go every day bookstore to bookstore, and we would go and just get as many of these coupon books as we can, so much so that we basically built a pyramid in our living room of all these coupon books up to here. And between the five of us, that fall semester, we probably had Raising Cane's for free about 200 to 250 times. It was insane. But it was so free and so delicious, and there's never been anything like it in my life food-wise. I've never experienced such a great season of free chicken ever. And I tell you that story to say this. We were devoted to free chicken that semester. I mean, we scheduled our time around let's go get these coupon books. We text each other, call each other. Okay, I've got a break between these two classes. I'll hit up this bookstore. You hit up that bookstore. And it was incredible. We scheduled our time around it. We thought about it. We planned it out, how we could get more coupons to get more free chicken as we would step foot into Raising Cane's or in the drive-thru line. And they're like, I swear I just saw you 8 hours ago using this coupon. There was just this euphoria that came over us. We were so excited to get more free chicken. And I tell you that because we were devoted to it. And because we were devoted to it, because we cared so much about it, it affected our actions. and so today we're going to look about what Jesus says about devotion. So let's open up to Matthew chapter 22. We'll start in verse 35 to set this up for you. There's these two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they have some differences, but they kind of came together at this one instance to test Jesus, to question him. These two groups are kind of religious leaders of the day. The main God's people up to that point, they were the Jews. They're from Israel, his chosen people. And these were the religious leaders of that group. And so we'll pick it up here in verse 35. It says this, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. He asked him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And so we know he's trying to test Jesus. And here's why this was a test. The rabbis, those religious leaders I was talking about, they documented 613 commandments in the Mosaic Law, in the Old Testament. 248 positive things, like do this, and 365 negative things, don't do this. And since nobody, I mean, think about that, that's crazy, 613 laws. Since nobody could possibly keep them all, they kind of divided them up into heavy, kind of more important, and light. Less important. The Pharisees specifically taught that the Jews needed to give attention to all the laws, but especially the heavy ones. Don't break those. And this Pharisee was asking, this religious leader is asking Jesus, hey, which one of these heavy laws was the quote unquote heaviest? Which one is the most important? And they're hoping to trap Jesus by getting him to say that one law was more important than the others. Essentially getting him to speak against the law. The other parts that he said, hey, this is not, he would be saying this is not as important. If he said a certain law, that naturally means the other laws are not as important. And they're hoping to trap him in that way. They're kind of trickily asking him, what should we do? Which then they can use to justify future actions or future things that they would do against Jesus. But look how Jesus responds. Out of all these 613 laws, here's what he says in verse 37 and 38. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And so here's what Jesus says about devotion. Is be devoted to God with everything. He breaks all those laws down. And he goes, hey, you want to know what's the great commandment, the great law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's where you start. That's the great commandment. Now, as we read that, you might, like, I'm sure you've all heard that. Maybe not all of you. I'm sure most of you have heard that before. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Sometimes you'll see all your strength in there in a different account. And you, maybe you've heard that so much, or maybe you're hearing that for the first time. And either way, maybe you're like, look, is that even possible? How is that possible? What I would tell you is that's the definition of devotion to anything. That's what it means to be devoted to anything, to love it with your mind, your soul, your heart, your strength. That's it. And I would say to you that anybody that's devoted to anything, that's what it looks like. That is exactly what it looks like. So for me, in high school, it was football. I played football in high school. I loved it. It's one of my favorite times that I've gotten to be a part of. And I know this is going to come as a shock to many of you, but I am not naturally super athletic. I'm just not. I know you're so surprised to hear that, that at 5'8½, and can't jump very high and can't run super fast, that I'm not the ideal football player. I know that's a shock to you, but that was true. And so I wanted to play though so bad, and I wanted to be a part of the team, and I wanted to contribute to the team. And so I would largely set up my calendar, set up my time, set up my thoughts about how can I be better at football. I would work out after practice. I'd come in early. When I made varsity, when they cared more, essentially, which was varsity, they would give you, I played defense, and they would always give us these scouting reports for the team we were going to play on Friday night. And it would have all this info about, hey, when they line up in this formation, 85% of the time, here's what they're doing. You know, when they, have these people out there, when they have this receiver on this side, this is usually what they're going to run. And I would study that thing like crazy. My teammates and I would quiz each other so that we would know what's going on, so we'd be prepared. So I'd be like, hey, I may not be the most intimidating football player ever, but I can outthink somebody. I can outwork somebody. And it just became a part of like my high school years. I was in the weight room all the time. I was studying that scouting report all the time. I was at practice 4 times a week. And it just was what I did. And I was devoted to it. And I loved it. And I would think about it at night as I'm falling asleep, what the next day would look like. And I'd be running through that scouting report in my mind. Oh, this is what this looks like. And I was devoted to that. I'm sure all of you have been devoted to certain things at certain points of your life. You probably are right now, whether you realize it or not. Maybe you're devoted to getting good grades because maybe you want to. Maybe you feel the pressure of that. But if you're devoted to it, you're spending a ton of time about it. You're thinking about it. Can I squeeze in some studying here? Maybe you're devoted to your social media. And I'm sure that would drain you quite a bit. But you're probably like, oh, can I post? What should my next post be? Oh, now that I post, do I need to go put an Insta story that says, make sure you like and comment my previous post in case they don't see the post. They can follow the Insta story. And you're like, oh, do I need to have this many likes by this many times, and or I'll delete it. Maybe you're devoted to, some of you, I know, are devoted to video games, whether you realize it or not. And you're like, man, I want to unlock this new skin in Fortnite. I want to do all this stuff. Or, you know, you're on Apex Legends. I get it. Fortnite's out of here. I'm fine. But all that to say, maybe it is sports. Maybe it's social status. Maybe it's any of those things. When you're devoted to it, it just becomes what you think about. You love it with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And I'm not even trying to talk about that stuff. I'm trying to say Jesus wants you to be like that with him. He's saying, man, love God that way. Be devoted to God with everything. Everything's working together. Your actions, your emotions, you're loving God more. As you get in his word and you find out more about him, it stirs your heart because he's trustworthy, because he's good. And that stirs your mind to think, man, okay, God, I can trust you. I can trust you. And you think, okay, how can this be reflected in my actions? Because I want more of you. I want to walk in the way that you call me to walk because I want to love you more. I want to be more devoted to you. I want to know you more. So my mind is then going to enact my hands and my feet and my body to live in a way where I can experience more of you, to step into spiritual leadership, to not partake in some of these things, to partake in some of these things because I want more of you. Jesus is saying that's what it should look like with God. And I want to give a quick disclaimer to say, hey, in a broken world, we love imperfectly. I get that. I've been walking with Jesus. I've believed in Jesus since I was in 9th grade. I'm about 15 years old. I'm 32 now, so that's 17 years. And I would be lying if I told you every day I woke up with that kind of passion. But what I've seen God do, and what I've hoped that he would do and prayed that he would do and try to put myself in a spot that he would do this is that over those 17 years, I've loved him more. I've wanted more of him. And that's not my own doing. That's his grace working in me. And Jesus is saying, love God that way. And here's why that's important. Because what we don't want as a Wake staff, me, Rebe, Jacob, what your leaders don't want, what they're not looking for, is for you guys to just become robots that just change your behavior in certain situations. Nobody in here is looking to create some army of robots that are devoted to making sure every person knows Jesus is good, God is good, you should follow him, what you're doing is bad here, you should be doing this. Nobody's after that. What we are all looking for and hoping and praying and investing our lives in so that it would happen is that there would be a group of people in here, all of you in here would be so devoted to Jesus that your lives would automatically sing of it. Right? When I'm talking about football, I didn't one day decide, hey, I want to love football. And so because I want to love football, I'm going to give my whole life to it. No, no, no. I loved football. And so because of that, I gave my life to it. And that's a really big difference. And that's what we are praying for you, is that you would love God so much. And because of how good he is, and you know and realize how good he is and how much he loves you and how incredible his love is, that you would want more of him. And that devotion would determine your discipline, your direction, where you're headed. If you've been around long enough, you've probably heard me say this. If you want to be a more fully devoted follower of Christ, you need to just find out what your small group leader does and do that exact thing. And so you might hear that and go, well, that sounds like an army of robots. No, 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 no. That's not what we're after. I'm not looking for you to be a copy of your small group leader. I'm looking for you to be a copy of Jesus in your small group leader. Because here's why: you're different than your small group leader. You're made differently. You're wired differently. You love different things. You're better at certain things than others than your small group leader. And here's how that all works. It is going to look different with each one of you. Some of you creative people, your devotion to God is going to look like, man, that creativity, making art in whatever form, expressing that devotion for God. Suddenly your sports take on a new level. They take on a new meaning because of your devotion to God. Some of you that are super social, man, that level of social interaction that you're just naturally good at, people gravitate towards you. Now that has a new meaning, where you're connecting with people and you're sharing this devotion that you have for God. Everybody is made differently in here. And so that devotion to God is going to play out in all these cool, unique ways that are going to be different person by person by person. And so Jesus is calling you to be devoted to God with everything, as much as you can. And then he doesn't stop there, though. They asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he said that, but then he said this. I'll pick it up back in Matthew 22:39. He says, a second command is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. He's saying, hey, all those commands, all those laws that you've documented, I mean, they all boil down to these two things. Love God with everything you got, and love others, love your neighbor out of that devotion to God. He knew that, man, that devotion to God is going to equate to that loving your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to read an account of the early church that, like, right when it started in Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read some words here, some phrases describing it. This group of people that put their faith in Christ. I just want you to listen to these descriptions. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Awe came upon every soul. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing those proceeds as people had need. They were praising God. They were having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as I read those descriptions, note two things. One is that it was out of their overflow of their devotion to Christ. This new revelation that had come and changed everything about them. It says they are praising God. It was out of the overflow of their devotion to God is what was happening. And then here's the second thing to notice, is that that devotion to God and each other is attractive to others. You don't need to, I mean, it's helpful to figure out how to engage with people and be able to say what you believe in a winsome way, that is so helpful. But if you don't have love for God and love for his people, that doesn't matter how good of a talker you are. And what you need to know is that devotion to God and devotion to each other is attractive. Any kind of devotion to something is attractive to people. And here's how I know that. Stand up if you have, without spoiling anything, stand up if you have seen Avengers Endgame. All right. Now, sit down if you have seen more than 10 Marvel movies besides Endgame. All right, sit down if you have seen more than 5 movies besides Endgame. Okay, the people that are standing up, there are like 22 Marvel movies, and you haven't seen even 5 of them, right? Okay, so there's a few people standing up. Hold on, stay with me. I could have asked that better. Here's what I want to know. You people that are standing up, you've only seen like a couple Marvel movies. Even though Endgame is like the culmination of all these 22 movies, why did you decide to see it? Your friends were going. What about you girls right there? Why did you see it? Why'd you decide to go see Avengers? You had to know. Right? You had to know what was going on. Your friends were seeing it. And so here's the deal. It is like made so much money. Everybody's seeing it. It's made more than any other Marvel movie. And here's what that shows. That there are people that are seeing that movie that haven't even been tracking with everything. But they're just hearing people walk out of that theater and go, this blew my mind. This was incredible. And they're like, I don't even know who Captain America is, but let me go check out this movie, which I'm sure is very confusing. But, guys, that's what I want you to realize. Devotion is attractive, right? When you hear somebody talking about how good something is, it naturally creates this desire in you to, man, well, I got to try that. If somebody's like, guys, you got to try this new restaurant. It's the best burger in Dallas. You're like, I got to go try this thing. It's the best burger in Dallas. It's the same thing. Devotion is attractive to other people. And it is so true when it comes to walking with Jesus in devotion for God and each other. One of our student staff was sharing about a small group of guys and how this small group of guys devoted to the Lord, devoted to each other. And so much so that this girl in their school had come to an event and he was talking to her and he was meeting her because it was kind of her first time there. And here's what she said. I'm here because of that small group of guys at my school. I have a lot of friends that are guys at my school, but when I hang around with that group, it's just different. They care about each other. They care about me and what I have to say. And I know that it's built out of their faith, because I can tell that in the way they live and the way they talk and by what they say. And so I just had to come check this out. Like it's devotion to God is attractive. That phrase, it's just different with this group. That's attractive. And so that's what I want you to know. And so, you know, what do I want you to do? I want you to see God through the lens of the gospel. I want you to see God through the lens of the gospel. If you have to see God as a checkbox, if you have to see him as someone that you have to please or earn something from, you're in trouble because we can't earn anything from him because of our sin. All we can earn from him is death. But God, being rich in mercy, even while we were still sinners, came in the form of a man, paid that death, paid the punishment we deserved. And that's the gospel. And he didn't stay dead. And I want you to see God through that lens. And I want you to see God's word through that lens. Through the lens of the gospel. It can be easy to see the Bible as a list of do's and do nots. Our culture sees it that way for sure. And that's not the case. It has do's and do nots in it. But that's not the primary message of that book. In the same way that if I said Moana was a sailing movie, a movie about sailing, you would go, it's not about sailing. It's got sailing in it, but it's about a girl seeking adventure who has to get the heart of the sea or whatever it is and save the world or whatever. It's not about, sure, whatever. It's not about saving, and she meets the rock along the way. It's not about sailing. It's about this girl and her adventure. In the same way, the Bible has do's and do nots in it, but it is not primarily a book about do this, don't do this. It is a book primarily about God revealing who he is, his plan for this world, how we went our own way, and he stepped in to save us because he is good. He's just, and he's the justifier. And that's what that book is about. That's the main primary message. I want you to see God's word through that lens. And lastly, I want you to know this, is that God is devoted to you. John 3:16, right? One of the most well-known scriptures ever says, for God so loved the world, for he so loved you that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. He is devoted to you. Hebrews 12:3 says it this way, think of him, Jesus, who endured such opposition against himself by sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and give up. God is devoted to you. And I'll end by telling you this. I've been a dad for about 6 months now. It's been incredible, but it has really affected the way that I have thought about devotion and specifically about how God is devoted to me and how God sees me and thinks of me. So there's a lot of words, there's a lot of scripture that talks about God as a father, but let's just look at Luke 11 real quick. This is Jesus talking. He says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Obviously, this is exaggeration. Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I could go all through scripture and talk and point to scripture that talks about how good of a father God is. But this is saying, hey, if you earthly people who are broken, and I am broken, and I am in need of a savior, and I have to remind myself of the gospel every hour, every minute of every day. I mean, if I can feel such a devotion to my little girl, Harper, then, man, how much more does God feel to us? Right now, we're trying to teach Harper to eat and to sit up on her own and to eventually stand up on her own. And she'll have these moments where she'll, like, sit up for a brief second, like 2 seconds, and then she'll just fall back. And you know what I'm not doing? I'm not looking at her and go, are you kidding me? 2 seconds, that's it? No way. That's terrible. Sit back up. No, no, no. I'm like, she's sitting up. Oh my gosh, it's incredible. She's so advanced. Look at her. She's sitting up. She's going to be a sitting champion. I don't know if that's even a thing, but I'm like, she's going to be an incredible sitter. I'm like, wow, 2 seconds. And I'm like, but really, I'm like you would look at that and go, she didn't sit. She like balanced for two. She fell slowly is what you would say. But I'm like, no, she's sitting. She's standing. I'm sure when she starts to walk, she'll take 2 steps and fall over. And I'll be like, she's a walker. She's already walking. And you're like, no, she just fell. And but here's the thing, man. I think God sees us that way. As a perfect father, man, he sees you that way. He's devoted to you. He doesn't go, golly, they messed up again. He messed up again. I can't believe she did this. Does she not trust me? Man, he's like, no. Man, they're walking. As you take a step of faith, as you seek God and try to know him, not that you can make him love you anymore, but I just want you to know he loves you perfectly and he's devoted to you. Just when I think I couldn't love Harper anymore, I'll have these moments where I'll just get hit with this deeper thing and I'm just like, golly, that's just like a small glimpse. And none of you know that because you're not parents, right? You're like, in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, but like, I want you to know God is devoted to you and he loves you. And man, let that drive your devotion to God. Not your discipline, I've got to create this in me, but just, man, remember who God is. Remember the gospel and ask God to help you love him more with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. Because that devotion is what's going to drive everything else in your life. Not behavior, change, but devotion to God. So I'm going to pray to close, and then this section, you guys stay right there. All right? God, you are so devoted to us. God, you are so devoted to us that while we were still sinners, not that we loved you first, God, but you loved us and sent your son as a sacrifice for us. You are devoted to us. And you are devoted to us first. And so, Lord, man, will you just remind us of that every day, every hour this week, any moment we have where we just have just a second with our thoughts, when we're sitting in class, waiting for class to start, when we're riding in the car, will you just remind us of how devoted you are to us? God, and I pray that that would create a devotion in us for you. Lord, I pray that if anybody in this room has never put their faith in you and has never had a devotion to you until now, Lord, I pray that, man, they would. And if that's you out there, I want you to know that now is the time where you can start that walk with Christ, where you can put your faith in him. And if you have any questions about what that looks like, please find a leader in here, or find me or Rebe or anybody else. Man, please. And God, if I pray for those of us that have been walking with you for a while, that have a devotion to you, will you strengthen that devotion? Oh, because that's what's going to change our lives. That's what's attractive, and that's what counts. Not the things we do, but God, do we love you with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul and our whole strength? And it's a broken world, God, but help us love you more and love each other as a result of that. Help us to see people the way you do. And God, we ask all this, knowing it's by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen.